Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, without your Holy Spirit, without your presence here, we would just be people gathering in a room. But Lord, we know that you said when we gather together, we come together like faith on one accord with one mind, that you can do great and mighty things. So we've come to this place this morning with purpose and for purpose. We've come here to be hearers and doers. We've come here to be encouraged one of another. We've come here to pray. We've come here to worship. We set our heart on purpose this morning, Lord God. And so it becomes more than just people gathering in a room, holding hands and greeting one another. It becomes a place that you inhabit. So, Lord, without your presence, nothing would happen of substantial purpose, Lord God. So we worship you in this place. We worship you, Lord God. You bring your presence. You bring the anointing. You bring whatever happens in this service, whatever should happen. All the prayers that will be answered, all the words that will be heard, all the encouragement that will be given, Lord God, comes by your Holy Spirit. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit, into this place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Think about that. If we were just coming to a room, like you go to a meeting at maybe on your career, or you go to a meeting where you're going to maybe go to a health meeting or something of that nature, the information is wonderful to receive. But when we gather for worship, amen, when we gather for encouragement, God joins us here. And without his presence, without God's purpose in our life, we would just be people sitting in a room. But we're not just people sitting in a room this morning. We've come here for purpose. So I pray that God will minister to you this morning. I pray that his word will bless and encourage you. But most of all, I just pray that whatever is shared this morning will just fall in a good place, that it will bring forth fruit in the lives of all of us who hear and become doers of his word. And on this morning, I was reading our devotional this past week. On October the 1st, we started reading in our devotional through Bible Gateway for October devotional. And I believe that on October the 1st, there and about, we began reading in Ephesians in the New Testament reading. And so there's an Old Testament scripture, then there's a New Testament scripture. And on Thursday, the New Testament reading was Ephesians 6. And I began to read in Ephesians 6 about the whole armor of God. And two words caught my attention. And those two words were stand firm. Stand firm. And one definition for stand is to remain or be set in place. For the purpose, a firm can be defined as being solid and unyielding. So stand means to remain or be set in place. Firm is being solid and unyielding. And so for the purpose of our lesson this morning, we're going to consider two thoughts. To stand firm means set in a solid place of believing God. To stand firm means to have unyielding and unwavering faith in God. So stand firm. Be set in your place of believing God. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. We'll start here. And the first key to standing firm, we're going to look at seven keys to standing firm in faith in God. Not faith in me, not faith in my circumstances, but faith in God. The first key to standing firm in faith is to have faith in God. Amen. We've got to begin with believing God, with having faith in God. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Looking down at verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In the Amplified Version, it reads, verse 1, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. And verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whoever comes near to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. And so we're going to be using an illustration of a bridge this morning. Having faith in God can be viewed like a bridge that connects believers from point A, being my confident trust and hope in what God has promised. And then there's point B, which is the manifested evidence of the promise. So if you think about a bridge, usually connects two bodies of land over a water. Normally it can be a different kind of a bridge. But on one side, consider that there is the confident trust and hope in what God has promised me. So I'll call that point A. Point B is when that promise comes to pass. So what connects me from point A to point B is faith. Without faith, I'm not going to cross that bridge and see what God has promised. So faith is that bridge for us. The second key for standing firm in faith is do not doubt in your heart. Do not doubt in your heart. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. The key is that your request be anchored by your single-minded commitment to God. Be sure that your faith is in God alone. Those who depend only on their own judgment are like those lost in the sea, carried away by any wave or picked up by any kind of wind. So make sure we're empowered by confident faith without doubting, and we'll receive. For the unsure person believes one minute and doubts the next. Being undecided makes you become like the rough seas driven and tossed by the wind. You're up one minute and tossed down the next. So let's change the scenario. Here's point A. Point A are the promises and the confident trust in what God has said to us and for us. Point B is experiencing the promise. And if we are doubting, instead of faith being the bridge, doubt is the bridge. So we've replaced that bridge of faith connecting us to experiencing the promises to doubt. And doubt is going to cause us to be disconnected. Doubt is going to cause us, here it says, to be unsure. Doubt is going to cause us to be like the waves and the winds that are tossed. And it says that doubt causes me to trust my own judgment. So anything that deals with that bridge of doubt is not going to take me to the point B of experiencing the promises of God. Trusting in my own judgment produces instability. We just read, but for let not that man, the one who is doubting, suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So the key to standing firm in faith is do not doubt in your heart that what God promised that he would bring to pass. The third key to standing firm in faith is to stand firm on his word, which reveals all that God said to you, all that God said about you, and all that God has for you. So everything that God has promised you, everything he said to you, everything he said about you, that we are his beloved, that we are created in his image, everything he said about you and every promise he has for you, stand firm on that. Stand firm on his word. Hebrews 4, verse 1. We read this last week, I believe. And it says, promised rest for God's people. The New Living Version says, God's promise of entering his rest still stands, so we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has promised this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. In the King James Version, it says, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter the rest. So what is happening is there's the bridge again. And when we're standing firm on what God has promised, we have to mix the word with faith. If we don't mix the word with faith, it says here, we should not think that we'll receive anything from God. If we're doubting, if we're not mixing his word with faith, when we do mix the word with faith, we receive and we enter into the rest. So that was Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 3. Stand firm on his word, which he reveals all that God said to you, all that God said about you, and all that God has for you. The fourth key to standing firm in faith is to pray and agree with the word. Pray and agree with the word. Identify a few scriptures that align with your request. So now you can turn to Mark 11. Mark 11. And we'll start reading at verse 20. So we're going to stand firm on the word, but we have to know what the word says in order to stand firm on what we're believing. Amen. Find a few scriptures that align with what you're believing and speak those scriptures. Say what you believe and speak the word. I'm going to start, give you a verses before verse 20. Speaks about Jesus going to Jerusalem and then to Bethany. And on the way, he was hungry. It says Mark 11 and 12. On the next day, when they had left Bethany, he was hungry. Verse 13 says, seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he would find anything on it. But he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, meaning the tree, no one will ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening to what he said. Now, verse 20, Mark 11 and 20 in the Amplified Version, it says, in the morning, they were passing by. So we're a few days Later, in the morning as they were passing by, the disciples saw that the fig tree had withered away from the roots up. And remembering, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." Jesus replied, "Have faith in God. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt," there's the word again, "not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him." And in the Amplified, it says, "in accordance with God's will." It will be done for him in accordance with God's will. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Drop the issue and let it go, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespass, your transgressions. And as I was reading this, I thought about back in the 80s and 90s, maybe. There's the movement of faith, which is a good movement, amen. The movement of faith was naming it, claiming it, grabbing it, everything that we saw, which was okay, I think. But people were typing up scriptures, you know, and putting them all over the house and saying those scriptures, which we said here, say what you believe, and quoting those scriptures. And maybe there were times when what was being spoken or said wasn't always in accordance with God's will. Because when I read the Word of God, when I'm studying what God's will is, even for my life, and God's will, his passion, is for others. God's will is about helping others. He centers on loving others. Is it okay to claim a house, claim a husband, claim a wife, claim shoes, claim cars? Now, maybe you didn't know about that in the 80s and 90s, but there was a time when we were claiming things that had nothing to do with other people's salvation or health, or it had all to do with what I wanted. I saw it, I wanted, and I claimed it. I don't know if you remember that, but I remember that. And it was very, very personal. And we were making up, we had all these scriptures about, you know, money cometh to me. All the, you remember those. And I'm not saying anything that was wrong, because I don't know the heart of people. I don't know people's hearts. I'm not saying it was wrong, but it looks like that God said that if we follow him, if we put our purpose and make our first priority about serving him and his purposes, all of our needs would be taken care of. Amen. It may not cost, and there may not be $1,000 pair of whatever kind of shoes, but I'll have some shoes on my feet. Amen. Amen. So when we're talking about saying the word, say what you believe and speak the word, we do need to specifically say what God says in his word. If it deals with healing, if it deals with prospering, like I just said, all of my needs are met because my priority is on completing the will of God for my life. I tend to believe that God's will is being fulfilled in my life because I'm about what God wants me to do with the purposes he's called me to. And if I'm ill and I'm asking God for healing, it's okay to find scriptures that you can meditate on and thank God, pray about it, and then thank God and continue to speak the word for healing. Maybe there's something in your life that you want to happen that is for you. Have a scripture, read the word of God, and begin to speak that over your life, that God would continue to use us, amen, and keep us healthy, keep our mind alert, that we can continue to reach out. So we're praying according to the will of God. The Amplified Version It does emphasize two conditions for the things I ask for in prayer. And the first one I just said, I believe and pray in accordance with God's will. Verse 23 in part says, if he believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with God's will. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe, and with confident trust, you will receive them and they will be given to you. And the second condition, along with according to God's will, if I have anything against anyone, I must forgive him. So that follows the verse of praying and asking and seeking. If there's anything in my heart against anyone, I must forgive. Verse 25 says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Drop the issue, let it go. So that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions and wrongdoings against him, meaning God our Father, and others. So before I name it, blab it, grab it, claim it, and all the other things, I've got to ask God for forgiveness. I've got to come boldly to the throne of grace, make my requests. But if there's something in my heart, if I have unforgiveness, if I'm upset, if I'm not walking in love against with God and with others, I've got to bring that before him, because that may be a hindrance to me receiving the promise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we have to examine our heart in prayer. If there's anything there, we forgive and we continue to see God bridge our faith to the promise. The fifth key to standing firm in faith is be established on the firm foundation. Be established on a solid foundation, or build on a solid foundation. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Building and standing firm on the firm foundation. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. So when I build on the solid rock or the solid foundation to stand firm in faith, I'm going to hear the word and I'm going to obey the word. And it says, when I hear the word, when I obey the word, it brings wisdom. The difference between the two people, one person heard, followed, became wise and withstood the storms. The second person, they both heard the same word. It says right here, whoever hears these sayings of mine, verse 24. Verse 26, but whoever hears these sayings of mine. So both of these people are hearing the word, but it's what happens after hearing the word that determine whether they stood, whether they were standing firm, or whether they were destroyed. So one house stood, our house meaning our life, our stand in faith, because we heard, we followed, we became wise, and we obeyed the word. The second person heard, didn't obey, and the Bible says became foolish, and then was destroyed, or the house fell. So in order for us to stand firm in faith, we've got to have a solid foundation. The sixth key to standing firm in faith is to trust God to renew our strength. Trust God to renew our strength. Let's turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 28. In order to stand firm in faith, there will be times I need to have my faith or my trust in God renewed. That's okay. Verse 28 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Lord never grows weak or weary. But those who trust in the Lord will find renewed strength. There are times we need renewed strength. Amen. In order to stand firm in faith, there will be times that our faith will be trusted. We just read that, or tested. Our faith will be tested. We just read that in James. There will be times of testing, and we need to be renewed. At some point in our lives, since becoming a believer, we felt weary. I felt weary. Maybe you haven't, but I felt weary. Maybe we've even doubted what God had promised. Maybe even we could relate to the verses we read in James where we were unsure and we were being tossed by our own thoughts, our own way of how we wanted to work it out, the way that we thought it should happen. And so we were up one minute and down the next minute. So how do we respond when we are in that situation? This is how I respond. I turn all my thoughts and my prayers to what I believe. If I am feeling unsure and I've been trusting my own understanding, I just have to put a stop to that. I have to shut my mind down. I have to shut my reasoning down, my thoughts down, my feelings down, my disappointments down. I just have to make a decision. Stop right there. And then I began to turn my thoughts and prayers to what I really believe. What did the word say? What did God say about me? He cares for me, what he thinks about me, and what he promised me. That's what's very important. And as soon as I turn my thoughts back to what God promised, the Holy Spirit renews my strength and brings me back to a place of peace and confident trust. And I began to know, those who trust in the Lord will find renewed strength. They will soar like wings. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. And then number seven, the seventh key to standing firm in faith is having done all to stand, stand therefore. It says that in Ephesians, keep standing. Ephesians 6, we can turn there. And I may read just a portion. So I'm going to start at Ephesians 6 and 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. As I read that about standing firm and continual standing, I thought as I was praying and reading, what are you going to do? Quit? We're not quitters. Amen. We're not of the group of quitters. We're not the complainers. We're not the naysayers. Amen. So I have two options. I'm going to stand firm, or I'm going to worry, be anxious, quit, murmur and complain. And if you ever feel like you're going that direction, as I said here, you just shut it down. And you say, that's not what I believe. It's not what I believe. What I believe is what God's words promised me. And I'm going to stand firm, stand confident, encourage myself in the Lord. And whatever I've taught, whatever I've learned, whatever is deposited on the inside of me, let it come up at that moment if it's a trial or I'm being tested. And during this time of reading and encouraging, and I just had a few thoughts I'm going to share here, the most important key to remember on standing firm is to have faith in God. As a believer, my mindset is to have confident trust in what God has spoken to me, what God has spoken about me, and what he has planned for me. He will perform it at the right time and in the perfect way. He just asked me to trust him. My mindset should not be to ask God why, when, or how. It sounds like this: Lord, why haven't you? Lord, when will you? And Lord, how will you? If my focus remains on unanswered questions, the things I don't understand, I will be distracted from what I should be doing in line with my calling. So if I get off track and I've been praying and I've been standing firm, maybe I haven't experienced point B, and I begin to, Lord, what's taking so long? I've been praying. I've been believing you. I'm standing on the word. I've found the scriptures of the promise of your word. The Bible says, keep standing. Amen. The Bible doesn't say, ask the Lord, what's taking you so long? And then we go with the plan of what we just read about. I come up with my own plan. I began to put together how I think it should happen. Because it's taken God too long for this to happen, I think if I add to it, it's going to happen sooner. And so that's the part we said we're not going to do. Amen. Because that person is unstable in all of his ways and undecided. And don't let him think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. So as I am on that faith bridge, I turn back to what God's called me to do. And what God has called me to do is to, we read in, I believe it's in Ephesians, it might be about chapter 4 in the reading this week. It says to be imitators of Christ, to be a person of light. So I'm a minister, a teacher of God's word. I'm a wife, a mother, and a grandmother. I am a daughter. And so my role now as a daughter, I was meditating on this morning, my parents raised myself and my three brothers. And now as a daughter, my role has changed. So my role now is to care. My brothers and I are caring for our parents. So we are taking turns providing meals. We're getting involved in all in most of their medical care and in their financials care, making sure that things are set in order. So my role as a daughter is different now. And my brothers and I, like I said, we have, and my parents my parents are understanding that at this point in their life, they need some support. Amen. It's hard. Yes. It's hard to say that I need help. Amen. But we've had a discussion to let our parents know that you raised us this way. Amen. You raised us that if we see a need, even if it's a need in your home, we can help with the need. And we wanted them to know it doesn't mean that we're going to come over and take over everything. We're going to do right by you. That's what they used to say in the old, we're going to do right by you because of what you've done for us. So my role as a daughter is changing, and my brothers and I, like I said, so I'm also a sister. I'm an educator, I'm a mentor, and so I have so many opportunities to fulfill God's plan for my life. If I stay in a place of questioning why things haven't happened, it creates distractions. And distractions get us away from God's will of reaching out and helping others. And I want to be the person who continues to be used by God, continues to keep my focus, my heart, and my passion for the things he's called us to do. And in the process, I know he's going to care for the things that concerns me. There are some things that we can do when we're praying about the things that we know God has for us. And let me give you some examples. If you desire to be a homeowner and you've asked God specifically, Lord, I'd like to be a homeowner. I'd like to own my own property. That's great. You want the best property. So there's a part I can have in that. I'm going to check my credit score. I'm going to find a great realtor. I'm going to research the area. So when I say that we're trusting God, we're standing firm in faith, God will give us wisdom. We just read that you hear and you do and God gives wisdom. Well, we need wisdom to take care of the affairs of this life. So I'm going to be sure that I'm not just going to say, Lord, you promised me and I ask you for a home. Now, Lord, direct me to the home you have for me. That's a wonderful prayer. Also, do your research. What area do you want to live in? How many bedrooms would you like? What condition would you like of your home? If you would like a promotion on your job, Lord, I need more income, and I know that there is a position coming open for me to go to the next pay level. Have you done your research? Have you gone in to find out about what that job description is so when you go in for the interview, you have an idea about what you can discuss with the person who's going to maybe hiring you. Are we on time for work? Have we looked at our evaluation review? Are we a team player? So you see, there's a portion in that. If I'm believing for anything, if I want to be debt free, Lord, I want to get out of debt. Can you help me manage my finances? Well, there's a part I can play in managing my finances. Amen. Get a credit report, right? Amen. Get rid of some credit cards. Amen. Amen. Start paying some things down. Maybe I need financial counseling from a good financial advisor. Amen. Amen. Not for you, cooking. I mean, I'm not against your cousin. I'm just saying if you want to be out of debt and that's your heart's desire to be debt free, go to someone who has wisdom on getting you out of debt. Amen. And I believe that if that's your confident trust, your faith is going to take you to a place where you can get some help with getting rid of debt. Amen. So there are things that we can do involving exercising our faith and standing in faith. Amen. In closing, I want you to consider a thought. I was talking to Pastor on yesterday, and we're going to go back to Ephesians. To Hebrews. We're going back to Hebrews 11. And I was reading Hebrews 11. I kept reading, and I got down to verse 13. And something new came out as I was reading verse 13. And I just want to share with you what I received. And I asked Pastor if I was in line with what this was saying. And he says, I believe so. So I'm going to read again at verse Hebrews 11 and 1. And this is New Living. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. In the New King James Version, it says, by it, meaning faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. So let's look at verse 11. No, I'm sorry, verse 13. And in verse 13, it describes the faith of those in verses 4 through, I guess would be 10. Speaks about Abraham. It was by faith that Noah. It was by faith that Abraham. It was by faith that Enoch. It was by faith that Abel. Then we get to verse 13, It was number 11 says it was by faith that Sarah. Then verse 13 says, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. So my husband sent me Barclay's notes on these verses. So allow me to read, because I think it explains what I want to share this morning on, about what I got from this. All these died without obtaining possessions of the promise. They only saw them from far away and greeted them from afar. And they admitted that they were strangers and sojourners upon the earth. Now, people who speak like that make it quite clear that they are searching for a fatherland. If they were thinking of the land down from which they had come out, they would have time to return. In point of fact, they were reaching out after something better. I mean the heavenly country. It was because of that that God was not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared a city for them. Now the patriarchs entered into the full possession. I'm sorry, none of the patriarchs entered into the full possession of the promises that God had made to Abraham. To the end of their days, they were nomads, never living in a settled life in a settled land. They had to be forever moving on. All their lives, the patriarchs were men who had no settled place they could call home. Certain great permanent truths emerged from them. In spite of everything, these men never lost their vision and their hope. In spite of all of the moving, in spite of not experiencing the promise, they never lost their vision and their hope. However long that hope might be coming true, its light always alone in their eyes. So our patriarchs in these particular scriptures were people who never experienced the promise. But they never lost faith. They continued to stand in faith, not having received the promise. Let me read you something that I found as I was thinking about this. This is the I Have a Dream speech from Dr. King. The last part of it says, like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen that promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And so Dr. King, I don't know if he knew or had any feeling, but he said he just wants to do God's will. I might not get there with you, but I've seen the promised land. So, and I was thinking about that. I said, Lord, I realize I may not see or experience the answer to every prayer in my lifetime. I had to settle that. Because I'm going to stand firm. Like Dr. King, I'm going to do God's will. I'm going to stand firm in faith. But I may not see every promise. What is important is to have faith in God, to stand firm, to build upon the solid foundation of my purpose. In other words, I need to finish my race with a victorious mindset. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think about my mother-in-law, Mother Gaynell Hudson. She has not met and never will meet. Well, maybe we'll meet Nora and Maxwell in heaven. But my mother-in-law prayed for our children, our children's children, when Michael, maybe before Michael was born, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law here. So her prayers before they even were born are continuing to sustain them. So you have to come to that realization, the prayers we're praying now or for the future sometimes, or for others. So I'm not going to be distracted, not going to lose sight. Lord, why haven't you? Lord, when will you? I'm going to keep doing God's will. I'm going to look over. I'm going to see the mountaintop. I'm going to see the promised land. As Dr. King said, I may not get there with you. I may not have every prayer answered, but I'll finish strong in my race. I think about our grandparents. I thought about, like I said, Dr. King, people in our lives who've impacted us. They may not see where we are today in our lives, but their prayers are being answered. Let's all stand. Our prayers are being answered. Stand firm in what God has promised. Stand firm in what God said about us. I'll go back over the points again. Number one is have faith. Have faith in God. Amen. Have faith in God. Number two, do not doubt in your heart. Number three, stand firm in the word, which reveals all that God said to you, all that God said about you, and all that God has for you. Number four, pray and agree with the word. Identify a few scriptures that align with your request. Say what you believe. Speak the word. Number five, be established on the firm foundation. Be hearers, doers, and obey the word, and be wise. Number six, trust God to renew your strength. And number seven, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Lord, we thank you this morning. Father, we thank you that you do renew our strength. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who has toiled, or any of us here who have toiled, that means worked in our own efforts, and become unsure, unstable, and are being tossed about by every circumstance of life, I ask you to minister to any heart here now who's discouraged, who's feeling weak or weary. And I thank you, Father, that we make a decision to worship and to bless your name. We make a decision to allow the bridge of faith to take us from point A to point B. And Lord, we've made a decision that the things we've prayed about, the things that we are believing for, the words that we've spoken over our home, our children, our loved ones, our finances, our own health, Lord God, whatever it is that we've committed to you, we say we cast that care. You've helped us to enter into that rest. And rest means that someone carries the load on our behalf. So, Lord God, we're entering to the rest. We're mixing it. We're mixing your word with faith. Now we enter into the rest, and we can that you will carry this load, Lord God. So I thank you, Father, that we stand firm. We put our focus on doing all that you've called us to do, reaching out, touching lives. Thank you for the gifts. Thank you for the talents. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the things you've given us, you've placed in our hands to do. Thank you for our creative mind. Thank you for the gift of hospitality, of teaching. Thank you, Father God, for the gift of wisdom. Thank you, Father God, for just the gift of love for others, that our focus turns to doing your will. And as we continue, we'll be mindful that we'll look around, we'll look up, we'll look down, we'll look back, and we'll see that everything you promised, you're bringing it to pass. And we thank you, Father God, for our grandparents. Thank you, Father God, for those who have helped us along the way. Thank you, Lord God. Give us rest. Give us rest, Lord God. Let us rest in you. Let us have peace in you. That some things are for the future And some things, Lord God, may not happen in my lifetime. It doesn't mean, Lord God, that it won't come to pass. It means it's for the future. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.